Chapter 7 The Letter. Dear George, I almost started this letter, my darling George, for that is what you are, and always shall be to me. I have been miserable since you went away. I pretend to have headaches to excuse my moodiness, but it is my heart that really hurts. You cannot pretend that you do not love me, and if you did, I should not believe you. I saw the anguish in your eyes when we last parted. So what is keeping us apart? The geographical distance between us can be breached in a matter of hours. I could be in Ely and in your embrace the very day that I hear from you. The gulf that separates us is my money, and I can do little about that at present. But I made an offer before, and I am making it again. When I am 25, and can take control of my late father's estate, I shall assign every penny that I have inherited to you. We can live on that, or, if your pride is really so delicate, you can give the money to any worthy cause of your choosing, and we shall manage on your income. What use is my money to me when it keeps me from the man I love, who I know loves me in return? I have lived too long with memories and ghosts. I want to cast them aside and live for the living. Oh, George. I screwed up the letter and rammed it in my mouth to stifle a sob. I was not weak, and I would not give way to weakness. Dear God, George, I prayed, how can you look at the sun and know that I am under it too? How can you be so cruel? I am being crushed, like this letter, shredded like the dozens more that I have written and never sent. If I thought that death would bring us together or end my suffering, I would take it without a second thought. And it was only that night, after I had written in my journal, that I remembered the name of a new coffee house in Montague Place, and realized that, infuriatingly, Sidney Grice had probably been right yet again. And that I had misheard Johnny Wallace's last words.